Over to you guys.
Thank you so much for being here and for announcing us. We are grateful to be here. It's fun to be at a homeschool conference because we do have 10 children. We have 47 foster children that we've cared for over the years, and we've adopted some of our 10 children. I always tell people we can't remember which ones they are. And so raising children, we have 32 grandchildren. Children are our passion, would you say?
I think so.
Just real quickly, how many were you in our class yesterday? Three of you. Okay. So just real quickly, I want to just tell you a little bit about our life.
Quickly.
Good communication.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
12 years ago, we were in Nashville, Tennessee, serving as missionaries. And Renee was 55 years old, picture of health, running every day. And one day, she came home and said she wasn't feeling very good. I rushed her into the ER, and she had a stroke, and a ischemic stroke. And the next day, she had a heart attack in the hospital, undiagnosed. And they did heart surgery on her the next day, and she lost the bottom half of her heart. And they did the surgery and thought she was doing really well, and she came out of surgery. She went into cardiac arrest and died. I was in the room the whole time. She was dead about 15 to 20 minutes. 20 people working on her. They had life support on her all the time, saying, "And we've lost her. She's modeling. There was one nurse screaming at me, saying, "Get him out of the room. He's a husband. Get him out of here." And another little Methodist nurse was saying, "I think it's okay. Please, it's okay. Just let him stay." We'd had a few spiritual discussions, and so. But anyway, they revived her back, as you can see, and she started moving. She started breathing, and they kept her on life support. The doctor said, "Let's keep watch her through the night." Next day, he came in and said, "She's not moving. She's not talking." I said, "No." And he said, "She's supposed to be talking to you." And I said, "Oh." And he grabbed her and took her down, did an MRI. She had a hemorrhagic stroke during the night. Although, I don't know if you know what that is, but the blood goes to the brain. Her brain was saturated with blood. And he came back in, tears in his eyes, and he said, "She won't live through the day. She's had a hemorrhagic stroke." And he said, "You don't want her to live because she will be a vegetable. You'll be feeding her the rest of your life."
I told her I chose broccoli.
And so they did brain surgery on her, after the brain surgery, came in and said she lost her cerebellum. She has no balance, but she's gone into a self-induced coma. So she'll probably stay in this coma for a while, and then she'll pass. And so we flew all of our 10 children into Nashville, Tennessee, and waited for her to pass. And she was in this coma for almost 30 days. I'm a praying man, and so I said, the doctors would come in and say, "Are you going to unhook her today?" And I said, "Well, every time I pray about it, the Lord says, just wait and see, Bill, wait and see." And so I'm waiting and seeing. so we did. And after 2 weeks, they took her life support into a trach. And then after about a month, she started moving her fingers, started moving her, blinking her eyes, and started doing little tiny things. And over the next several years, in slow motion, came back. Had to relearn how to walk, relearn how to talk, relearn how to, she's a musician. She had to relearn everything. And she's done that. And so I want you to know that about her, because one of the symptoms of that surgery is she has no balance. And so I'm always hanging onto her elbow somewhere.
Or any memory.
Her memory's good. But she's worked really hard to come back to this. So I want you to know about that, mostly because of miracles and also because of, it's imperative that we understand as teachers and learners, which we all are in the room, that we are people who can relearn and relearn and relearn. Sometimes, especially as men, we go, "I can't do that," or "That's not me," or "I'm not a communicator," or whatever. And some of you will think that today, you feel that somewhat. But we can build new neural pathways in our brains always, and she's done that. And as we walk through that experience, we've developed in a whole new people, and it's been part of our path. And so today, just having to present to you, I want you to experience the miracle.
What he's saying is that if I fall over, it's okay. I'll get back up. It's not a problem.
She walks with a walking stick, and that's, they told her she'd never walk, never talk. Now I have to throw one more thing in for you that were there yesterday. She, when she was coming out of her coma, they took the trach out of her neck, and she had a hole in her neck, and she had a pacemaker valve in her neck, and the nurse came in one day, and she was, we were trying to get her to talk through this little pacemaker valve, and she goes, "Miss McKee, what is this?" And they pulled out a pen, and she goes, "What?" And Renee goes, "That's a pen." And she says, "What do you do with a pen?" And she, Renee goes, "You write with it." And then she said, "If you had a broom in your house, what would you do with that?" And through this hole in her neck, she went, "You'd give it to your husband and tell him to sweep the floor." The nurse threw up her book, threw up her pad, and said, "I think we're done here. I think her brain's working fine." And I knew then she was coming back. I knew then. That was some of her first words that she ever said. So anyway, as part of our presentation, I honor her. I have such deep admiration for her. And want you to know that as we're speaking to you as a couple, about couples and about communication today, we have gone through some things that I never thought we had experienced, and I never thought we'd be doing some of these things years later. And so, and five of our children were with us while we were out there. We were trying to keep them in school as well. So that's the challenge that all of you have dealing with teaching children and still salvaging your relationships, making them work all the time. It's challenging and it's hard. So we just have deep admiration for you. I think one of the greatest gifts you can give to your children is a healthy relationship. So as you're working on all these things you're working on with home education, that's the greatest gift you can give to your children, we believe. So.
Before we had this experience in Tennessee, we used to teach workshops all of the time. I taught a lot of communication, relationship workshops, self-esteem workshops, things like that. And it's really amazing how little by little that's come back to me. And sometimes I'll get right in the middle of a sentence and I'll stop and my brain will be blank and it's like, and so then he'll carry on for me. But we've taught a lot about a lot of these things. What we want you to know is that we're going to put out some information today that we really are passionately believe in. Now, what we'd like you to do is to take it home, test it out with your experience. If it works, use it. If it doesn't work, chuck it. But it's really worked for us. And before we start, I have a little story that I wanted to tell you about a lady named Esther and her husband named Morris. And they were just a little old couple, and they went to the state fair. All of you have been to the state fair, right? Yeah. So they were at the state fair, and this was quite a while ago. And they were walking around. They did everything you do at the state fair. You see everything. And finally, Morris said, "Oh, honey, what I'd love to do, I just want to go in one of those flying machines. That's one of the things I really want to do." And they had a thing where you could go up in an airplane, and they would give you a ride for $50. And so Esther said, "Oh, yeah, but, honey, that's $50. And $50 is $50. And so then they went home. The next year they came back, and they did the fair thing, and Morris said, "Esther, what I'd love to do is go on one of those flying machines." Esther said, "But $50 is $50. "Yeah, I know." The next year, they came back. And same thing. Morris said, "Esther, I would just love to go on one of those flying machines." And at that time, the pilot heard him. And he said, "Hey, mister, you want to go on this ride? Okay. You get on here, and I will give this to you for no cost if you can do one thing." And he said, "What's that?" And he said, if you and your wife will not make one sound, one peep through the whole flight, if you can do that, it's yours, free." "Oh, man, we can do that." And Esther said, "Well, okay." So they got in, and there they went. And he went up, and he went around like this, and he went zoom, and zoom, and around, still no peep, nothing. And he did it again. He went around and around more, even more, and came back, and there was not a peep. He thought, "Wow." So he did it again, around and around, and he came back, and he finally landed. And he said, "Sir, you didn't make a sound." And he said, "Well, I almost did when Esther fell out." "But $50 is $50.
So in counseling over the years, we've discovered that I'm a licensed professional counselor. I've been there for about 35 years, but we've discovered that one of the three major issues with most couples are communication, number one, finances, big issue, and physical intimacy, another big issue. Those three major issues. And so, okay. Oh, I can if you want to. But anyway, so, and today, we've just chosen to focus totally on communication because we think it's at the base of even the finances and the physical intimacy. And those other two are probably lessons for another session. So, communication is everything. I read this just not too long ago. Consider the case of the Illinois man who left his snow-filled streets of Chicago for a vacation in Florida. His wife was on a business trip and planned to meet him there the next day. When he reached the hotel, he decided to send his wife a quick email. Unable to find a scrap of paper in which to write her email address, he did his best to type it from memory. Unfortunately, he missed one letter, and his note was directed instead to an elderly preacher's wife, whose husband had passed away only the day before. When the grieving widow checked her email, she took one look at the monitor and let out a piercing scream and fell to the floor in a dead faint. At the sound, her family rushed in the room and saw the note on the screen. Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. It sure is hot down here. So, in communicating, everything is about communication. Everything we do, and the little things do make a big difference.
Okay, so in communication, as far as your home education, is so important as you communicate with your spouse, if you have a spouse. It's so important that you learn to communicate with your child in healthy ways. There are a lot of unhealthy ways, and there are a lot of ways that work, and a lot of ways that don't work.
So a lot of the skills that we'll be talking about today, we'll be talking about as a couple. At the same time, you can use every one of those skills with your children, okay?
Okay. Let's see. I have to stop and think where we are. Oh.
Some markers.
Okay. Oh, wait. There was this one. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't thinking about that. So often, this is an example of communication. We could use the pens, too. That'd be fine.
Okay.
You want to?
Sure. Okay. So if I have five things that I'd like Renee to hear from me, five pieces of information, grab onto your stick. Okay. If she falls, you catch her. Please.
Okay.
So I've had five things I want to say to her. I'm going to have to throw her one. She missed that piece of information, so I'm going to throw her one. Two. You're doing great. Three. Four. And five. Okay, there's five pieces of information that I had to say to her. Now, she has five things she's going to say back to me, okay? There's one. There's two.
She feels strongly about that one.
Make sense? Most of us, when we start communicating, we start building up our bazookas as what we're going to say next instead of what the person's saying to us. And so before she could even get these to me, I'm already saying, yes, but, yeah, but you don't, you know, and I'm arguing back very quickly. And we'll see this with children or spouses in most situations. So it's easy to get caught up into that frame of mind of I've got to defend myself.
You know, I really wish you had spent a little more time at home. I just feel like the kids.
You know, somebody's got to make a living around here.
Yes, that's true. And I just feel like you need to be spending more time with the kids.
Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say.
Well, it is. That should be a compliment to you. You should feel that as a compliment.
I wish you should be spending more time at home. That doesn't sound very complimentary.
Well, they need to hear, they need to feel of your, your wisdom.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice if you say that instead of saying, I wish it'd be some other way. You're not happy with me. Why don't you just find somebody you're happy with?
If I didn't want, do you see what I get? You know,
go into that defensiveness mode, and some of you are familiar with The Four Horsemen by John Gottman, if you want to look that up, and sometimes it's called The Four Horsemen by John Gottman. He talks about defensiveness or defending ourselves or protecting ourselves as a unhealthy way of communicating. Now, say that again to me.
You know, I love it when you're home. And I love the effect that you have on our kids when you're home. I just really appreciate that. I know you work hard. And I don't know if there's any way at all that you could find that you might be able to spend some more time with the kids.
Well, I'm kind of divided. I don't know how to work and spend more time with the kids, and I don't know how to get it all in.
I know. I know it's hard. And I just wanted you to know that that's really important to me. And so if that ever works for you, to be able to, you know, on a night or change your schedule around or something like that.
So you're saying to me that you'd like to see us work it out so we can spend a little more time together, spend more time with the kids, if we can work something out like that.
I would love that.
So you'd like that?
That would be cool. Yeah.
This is hard to do when you're talking on a regular basis, but the idea is how do we stop when we hear something that's hurtful or something that's damaging and reflect it back? And when I could stop and say, okay, so what you're telling me, you really do love me? You want? I mean, she started out with a positive, that sandwich thing where you give a positive and then she gives me the meat and then another positive. So you really do care? You really do want me to be around the kids more?
It's
or you want me to be around you more?
I think it's really, really difficult in communication for me to be able to find the positive first, because we go right directly to the negative. But if you can see something positive first and say that with the message that you want to put out to them, it's really important, because I know with a lot of people, they will only hear the negative. Like even the message that I put out to him when I said, you know, I love it when you're home and I really wish you could spend more time. And he, you know, even then, it's probably, he could get very defensive. But it's really important to be able to do it in a positive way, and you have to think about it. Sometimes for days.
So when you, and I know many of you have heard this, but get rid of the you words and start using the I words. I love it when you. I love this. I love that. I would like this, I would like that. And get rid of, you never do this, get rid of never, ever, the yous that push people away. Just, hopefully you're on dyads right now, and if you're not, look around and find somebody to sit by. Would you mind coming over and sitting by this woman over here? Have you got somebody there? I don't know your name. So you're all together there. What a team. Okay, you're all right there? Okay. We don't want to let him get out of that, though, you know. Anyway, so what I'd like you to do is just real quickly, think of something that might be concerning you or something that frustrates you or something that's really challenging for you. And I want you to decide who's A and B. But A's, raise your hand. And your dyads. Okay. B's, you start out. Okay, so B, if you're a B, I want you to start out just by, we're just going to take 1 minute on this, briefly sharing something you're frustrated about, something that's challenging for you, and A's, I want you to reflect it back. Don't give your opinion about it, just reflect it back. This is going to take less than one or two sentences, okay?
Do you want us to be accusatory, or do you want us to use the right skills?
I want you to use the right skills. We want to practice the good skills. We get good at what we practice, right? So a B is just saying, this is something that's really been frustrating me. Make it brief, one or two sentences. And then A is, I want you to reflect it back. And when I say reflecting back, it would be like, oh, so you think that would work better for our family. It may or may not work better. I'm just going to reflect back what her request was. That's all I'm doing. Okay?
So reframe it.
Reframe it. No judgment.
And you don't even need to reframe it. Just reflect
just
it.
Re-clarification.
Yeah, re-clarifying.
Like, so what you're saying is.
So what you're saying is. Thank you. That's what you're saying. I don't want you to parrot like. Yeah, rah, 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 rah. But what you're saying is. It's just a reflection.
But okay? Yeah, practice doing that. So you're getting. It's like you're getting the marker. You're not dropping it like I did.
And just since a lot of you are in couples, just think, what if this was my child? How would I reflect it back of my child coming home and said, I want to dye my hair green today? How can I reflect that back? Yeah, exactly. Okay, just try it real quick. Go ahead, Bees.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay, stop. If you're taking longer than that, you're getting into a discussion. Okay. So I'm anxious. How did you do? And I'm going to ask the bees, how did they do? Did they listen? Did they hear you? Thumbs up. I'm hearing some thumbs, seeing some thumbs up. Okay. Did they hear you? Did they listen? Now, you didn't resolve it. You didn't fix it. You just, from your perspective, from what you're saying, looks like this. The grass is purple. The sky is yellow. The cows are blue. You're just reflecting it back. That's right. In your communication, I would highly encourage you to practice that number one first skill. Just called reflective listening. And, just to hear what people say. And often when children come home with some shocking things like, I hate you.
So what you're saying.
And that's exactly what I'd say. So what you're telling me is you really hate me.
Don't like.
Now some parents would say, you're not going to say that in my house. Or what if you just said, oh, so what you're telling me is you really hate me. Use their word. Don't shift it to you don't like me. You really hate me. And what will the child then say?
Well, I don't really hate you. I mean,
yeah. But what if I said, you don't say hate in this house?
They will still hate you.
And they're going
to push it right down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we reflect it back. How many thousand times can I say that? So we're going to reflect it back. So, yeah. So just keep that going on. That's what you're feeling, and you were so hurt about it that you just expressed, I hate you. So you must be really frustrated about something. Tell me more. And that's a fun thing to say. You really hate me? Tell me more. You really, it's really that hard? Tell me more. Well, it's horrible at school. My teacher just, or it's horrible, I guess you're not at school, but it's horrible with my friends, or something's horrible. And tell me more. We did have someone come up and talk to us yesterday about that put their daughter back in public schools and some of the challenges that she was facing and how to handle all that. But tell me more. Tell me more always opens that up. And with a spouse as well. Tell me more. Tell me more. Come on in. Anyway.
And that's hard. I remember our daughter came home once and said, Mom, I'm going to get my belly button pierced. But you know what I found is that the more you can listen, people just want to be heard more than not. And if you can listen and help them to know that you love them, not their behavior, but you love them.
Reflection and validation.
We talked about this yesterday, that this is you. Oh, this marker's not working. Have you got one that works?
Looks just like me.
Do you want to?
I'll write it.
He's a better drawer than I am, right?
I don't know about that.
So that we talked about that this is the person, this is the performance. And as you let them know.
I'm over on that side.
I guess. That you love them no matter what. Absolutely, positively, that there's nothing in the world that they could do to make you stop loving them and help them to know that message, help them to get that message. But this is their behavior. This is their performance. And as you can separate them from their performance, it makes such a difference. And so as you're listening to them, you might be choking. You might be ready to throw up. But as you listen, what they're doing is expressing a need inside. So as you just listen, maybe they'll even go ahead and do it. And can you accept that? Can you still love the chooser and hate the behavior?
Or love the behavior. Could be either way. But you talk about behavior in ways that work and ways that do not work. We talked a lot about family counsel just in our class and dealing with self-esteem and keeping your word. But talk about behavior in ways that works and does not work.
And what maybe I
think again about a spouse.
I can just use
when you're frustrated by a spouse. About behavior that works and doesn't work. Separate them from the behavior as well. Yes?
Just as a side comment, I once heard an interview by Elizabeth Smart that said her parents had taught her that exact
concept, yes.
Concept, yes. But also that anything that, like the behavior, her behavior or other people's behavior that affects her. And she said that while she was in,
being
like,
abused,
being
yeah.
current, kidnapped, abused, that was one thing that she held to, that she knew that she was separate from what she was allowing to yeah. happen, you know, mm-hmm. and also that was happening to her, and that was one thing that, like, really helped her while it was happening, and then for her, through her recovery, that she had been taught that exact concept.
Isn't that great? And because she knew she wasn't her behavior.
Yes.
She wasn't the experience that was
right.
happening to her. Mm-hmm. So this can, and by the way, Renee's been in the Miss America pageant. She walked down the walkway, and she knew that that was not who she was. She's also been in a coma, dying, and she knows that's not who she is either. You know, so we look at things like that. When our kids and ourselves, we look at this is our behavior. This is something we're choosing. It's not who we are. Thank you, and that helped her through that trauma. It's a good example.
And we could go on and on. That's a whole class too. Man, it's hard. It's hard. Wow. Okay. So. I'm a math expert, right? Is that correct, all of you? Okay. Now, in communication, let's say a husband and wife, for example, your husband or your wife. You give 50% to the relationship, and your spouse gives 50%. And that equals 100%. Your relationship should work, right?
Right.
According to the math, it should, yeah. Okay. What's another way to look at it?
60-40.
60-40.
60-40. I'm giving more than you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, and this is the very hard part. 100% plus 100% equals 100%. And sometimes it's really, really easy to bail. There are different ways of bailing. Okay, let me do this first. Okay, sorry. Sometimes we don't listen. And sometimes we have what we have. This is an acronym. What does that say, everybody?
Plop.
How many of you know what a plop is?
Me.
You. A plop is pertinent language overlooked, possibly sunk. I'm going to say that one more time. Pertinent language overlooked, possibly sunk. In our relationships, do we participate in plops? Have you ever raised your hand in a class and the teacher just went, now, and went on and on. And it was like a plop. It was like it was a message that you had that was sent out and it just plopped. In your relationship, have you ever done that?
Yes.
Yes.
We never have.
We never have. Never. What I wanted to tell you is the reason that we're so good at this class is that we have made every mistake possible. You give us something to fight about, we fought about it. Okay? So, anyway, we're going to fight right now. Oh, we are going to fight right now. That's me, isn't it? Okay, now, can all of you stand up? And now, you as a baby, man, I'd take your babies. I love babies. I don't think I can. if you, I don't know if you can participate, because what I want you to do is get with a partner, and what you're going to do is do an arm wrestle. Okay?
In the air?
In the air.
And that's right.
Now take your hand like this and link your thumbs. Put your get a good stance.
Wake up your babies, by the way.
Oh no.
Yeah, it is, sorry. And what A's, do you remember who you are?
Yes.
A's, you're gonna start this time. No, A's, actually you're both gonna do it at the same time. Is that right?
But A's will start.
Okay. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna go, my point of view.
My point of view.
My point of view.
My point of view.
And you're going to do it until we say cut. Okay, ready, set, go.
My point of view.
My point of view.
My point of view. My point of view.
Stop. Okay. Now we're going to do the second thing. Get your arm wrestled. Keep going. This time we're going to say something different. We're going to not say my point of view. We're going to say point of view. Ready? Here we go. Point of view.
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 Point of view. Stop. Okay. Now this time is where the A's are going to start. Really. And you're going to say, I accept your point of view. Here's mine.
I accept your point of view. Here's mine.
Ready? Go.
I accept your point of view. I accept
your point of view. Yeah, here's mine.
Here's mine.
And then I say, I accept your point of view. Here's mine.
I accept your point of view. Here's mine.
I accept your point of view. Here's mine. Oh,
I went to sleep. Okay, stop. Go ahead and sit down.
Thank you.
So what happened?
Voice level came down.
What was your experience? Your voice level came down. Okay. So are you the Love and Logic teacher?
Yes.
Okay, I was thinking I read that about you. And somebody said they did in class. We love Love and Logic as well. We've taught a lot of Love and Logic over the years. So
awesome.
And some of these things you'll be hearing from that. But the voice level came down. What else happened for you?
No more arm wrestling.
No more arm wrestling. What else happened?
At first, I feel like we were using more strength to pull the other down, but at the end we were just like, there was more time to talk in between, so we weren't so forceful.
Right. So things come and come. Now, I'm curious, what was your point of view?
To be right.
To be right. Because what was your point of view?
We didn't know.
You didn't even know, did you? But it was mine. It was my point of view. It was mine. Now think about that. In life, we Renee and I, when we teach marriage workshops, we often say, we have a big old trophy that's about this tall, and whenever, especially us men, we would never do this, but especially us men, we get very positioned on my point of view, and I would always grab that trophy and carry it down the hallway and say, here's your trophy. You get to be right. That's all you get. You get this trophy. You don't get love and happiness and joy and peace, but you get to be right. Keep your trophy. Hang on to it. Hold it tight. Because we get to be right because we want to be right about my point of view. This is my point of view. And we position ourselves. And we'll even say things like, yeah, but what do you say? But that's not right. They're wrong. And, you know, that's what we love to go back into. What works and what doesn't work. Let's talk about what works and what doesn't work. It doesn't work to hit your neighbor. It doesn't work to cheat your neighbor. It doesn't work to hit your sibling. It doesn't work to yell back at your parents. It doesn't work to fight as a couple. And
can I just say something?
Yes,
sorry.
Please.
It works really good to use that in your homes. This works. This doesn't work. Instead of, this is good. This is bad. We kind of cut the good and bad out, even though we, you know, there are good things and there are bad things. But when you can go to that, this really works. And you stop and think about it. Some things work and some things don't work. And it's just easier. Okay.
And our theory is life works on agreements. And with couples, life works on agreements with a couple as well. Now, don't raise your hand, but imagine if in your relationship, your spouse or your partner, whoever that significant other one is in your life, they didn't keep their agreement with you. Just imagine that might happen sometime. Or they didn't do what you think they should do. or they didn't accomplish what you think they should accomplish. How does that feel? That's when we get positioned and we start saying, wait a minute, I didn't buy this.
Go back to
your iceberg.
The iceberg. Go back to back.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, all right. We're having a great communication.
We're trying to get it all in.
Changing it up. But but before we leave this, what happened is you got back to, I accept your point of view. Here's mine.
You still have 25 minutes.
25?
Yeah, ends at 11:50.
Okay. Oh, that helps.
Thank you.
I'm thinking 11. I'm thinking we're not going to make it. Okay. 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 Good.
All right. So think about how what would happen about how everything came down. I may or may not agree with each of my partners, but I can validate and say, okay, this is your point of view. Here's mine. And then you put that on the table. You don't always have to solve the problems just coming on the table. Now take your chairs and put them back to back to each other. I'm assuming you all have papers and pens. If you don't, will you raise your hand? We'll bring you some.
And there should be one in your booklet.
Yeah.
Tell me your name again.
I'm Rachel.
Thank you. Maybe I'll even ask Rachel to bring you some paper or pen if you don't have one. Raise your hand. But I'm guessing you all need a pen.
Okay. You want one that works? You want the one from us?
Is there anybody else that doesn't have a pen? There's another one. So grab a couple of them, Renee, please. Anybody that needs paper?
Well, I need three pens.
Just bring the whole bag, and Rachel can help us out.
You betcha.
Thank you.
Who needed the pen?
We've got two.
Okay, while she's bringing these, pens around.
Okay, you may
want
to try a couple
A's.
Oh, yeah. Does it work?
Okay, if you're an A, I want you to draw four centrifugal figures on your paper. Don't start yet. And this is this activity, you can't talk to each other. So if you got somebody to work with.
Oh, do you have paper?
Get the three some.
Here's a pen.
Or you can watch either. I've done that. Did you get just my chat? Okay, so when I tell you A's, I want you to be thinking of three or four centrifugal figures, circles, triangles, squares, stars, whatever.
So just
not people, but just shapes.
Geometrical
shapes. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you. Yeah, geometrical shapes. So when I tell you, I want you to do that. Now, this exercise, you cannot speak to each other, nor can you look at each other. That's why you're back to back. Okay? So you can't talk to each other, and you can't look at each other. But the A's are going to be talking. So A's, go ahead and draw those four figures on your... And there's no right way to do this. Just draw them on your paper.
Just
say
4 or 5.
4 or 5, whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter. There's no right way to do it.
The simpler, the better.
Quickly.
But she talks while she does it.
No talking. A's, just draw them on your paper real quickly.
And no looking over your shoulder, no cheating. Just saying.
Okay, anybody need more time? Okay. Now, what I want you to do, A's, is I want you to lean back, and when I tell you go, I want you to start talking to your partner, B, and explain how to draw exactly what you drew. B, you cannot ask any questions. You can't say anything. You can only listen. Okay? A's, you just describe it the best you can. And when you get all done, just raise your hand. You don't have to keep it raised, but just raise your hand so we know you're done. Okay? Any questions? Yes?
Are the B's supposed to be drawing what we're describing?
Yes. They're going to draw exactly. So when you're done with this activity, you'll have two identical pictures.
Of course.
Okay?
Of course.
All right?
So yes. I can't say, like, it's a cube or...
You can't ask any questions.
I mean, no, the A.
Oh, you can say anything. A is you can say anything you want.
Oh, really? Anything. There's
anything you want. You can say anything you want to describe. But B is you can't ask any questions, and you can't say anything back. Like, you can't say back, is it 1 inch or 5? You know, you can't say anything.
Okay. You can tell them what shape it is.
Sure.
You just can't.
You tell them everything you want to tell them. All the detail you
easy.
Want.
This is easy.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake. Bees, you just can't speak. You can only listen. And do the best you can, bees. Any other questions? Go.
And then the top of that rectangle are about an inch and a half. To the right of that rectangle, you want to draw about an inch away from that rectangle to the right of the rectangle.
You can do that after this process.
I want you to draw a circle.
We learned about circles.
It's about 3/4 of an inch high.
And I will let you do this. I'll just have a lot of fun.
It's never good at math or young. And then under the rectangle, I want you to draw about an inch under the rectangle. I want you to draw a triangle. It's about the same size as the circle. The two sides going about 3/4 of an inch long. The bottom of that triangle is about half an inch long.
Can we compare it now?
And underneath the circle, I want you to draw a small square. And the all sides of the square about a half an inch. So those are your four shapes. So the top left goes up.
I know there's one of you still going,
rectangle.
But...
to the right of that is
those of you who
okay,
are
so bees, stop. Stop
for a minute. Yeah,
okay.
So those of you who are bees, what was it like to just hear instructions, to be told what to do? What did it feel like? That's what I want to know.
I got anxious.
You got anxious about what?
I wanted to go faster, and I got ahead of her, and then I realized I was wrong.
Okay. How did you realize that?
Very reflective
on
my
personality. What else? So were there some of the rest of you bees? What happened to you? What did you feel as you were listening?
Confusion. Wanted more specifics.
And
worried you're not doing it right. A little bit of worry.
A little worried that I'm not doing it right. Good. Yes.
I wanted to ask questions.
Yeah, I want to ask questions. Because what do questions do for us?
Clarify.
They clarify, exactly. Okay, go ahead and show each other your pictures. There you go.
You did really good descriptions. I had lines that kind of went off the line.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
You were very, like,
oh, thank you.
That was good. Although him saying was,
Okay, stop. Now, what happened with this? As you're showing each other your pictures, what happened?
Clarification.
What else?
Also a validation.
Validation?
If you did it right.
Or non-validation.
Or non-validation. Yeah.
How many of you felt, yeah, I did it right. I did good. I did it right. My partner did it right. Gave good directions. How many of you felt like, no, I messed up?
Were there any A's in the room that thought, I didn't say that. I didn't say it that way. That's not what I did. I told you it was in the left-hand corner. In the right-hand corner. Anyway, think about that. There are a lot of things that come up for that. Okay, now let's do this again. A's and B's. And this time...
Get a new piece of paper.
Get a new piece of paper. I have the A's draw the fingers left
tonight.
Yeah. Okay, so B's, you hurry and draw... 4 or 5 things, something completely different.
Okay.
You heard draw something completely different.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, 4 or 5 symbols.
No, 4 or 5. Oh, shapes.
Yeah, 4 or 5 shapes. Yeah, do the shape thing, the simple path. So you heard and draw 4 or 5 shapes, and this time when you describe to A, I want A to ask questions. Okay? So do the same exact thing. We're going to take 2 minutes and just do as quick as you can. And A, you ask questions. Go.
Okay.
Is it longer on the bottom two lines?
Display another weakness, okay. But you're going to teach this one else anyway, and you're going to teach this in validation.
Okay,
stop.
Okay.
What was that like? Oh, show your pictures first.
That's all right. Oh, very good.
Okay, it's good. Yeah, I like that a lot better.
And I'm curious, did you have a higher success rate?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Because
the
husky is
on
the other side. You can communicate, yeah.
Because I'm a better communicator.
But now you're a communicator. Like, I want you to think about something. We can say, I love you. I love you. We can say, I love you. I'm going to say, I love you. How we say things makes a big difference. So when we communicate and we ask questions, we can clarify, it changes everything. Any other feelings, any other thoughts, anything that want to happen for you with this experience?
Less anxiety.
Less anxiety. Okay, so more relaxed, less anxiety. Don't have to perform because we really don't know what's going on here. So, yeah, less anxiety. And when there's less anxiety, you're going to communicate better, I promise you.
Sure.
High anxiety, you're going to defend, be defensive, and resist. So less anxiety. Anything else? Okay, Renee's going to talk to you a little bit about validation and some other things, but will you validate each other right now?
Yeah.
Whatever way you want. You can just turn your chairs back.
Yes. Very good. You were extremely descriptive.
Very good.
Thank you
for coming to the Where are you from?
I'm from
Okay. Enough validation. Sorry. Stop.
We go back to the...
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Just flip our chairs.
So I heard the word out there, this validation. What does it mean to validate someone?
Make them feel safe where they're at.
To make them feel safe where they're at. Good. Another definition.
That they're worthwhile, or their opinion is worth hearing.
Okay.
To acknowledge their efforts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to agree with someone to validate them?
No.
So what if they are doing something that you completely disapprove of? How do you validate that person?
I think it's okay to understand why they made the choice they made without agreeing with it. You can understand how they came to that conclusion or why they felt that way or wanted to do what they did or going to do. Mm-hmm. Might not agree with it, but you can understand it.
Good.
Yes. Sometimes I don't communicate because it would be better for my wife not to hear what I'm thinking. Which doesn't help either, because non-communication is also a form of, you know,
communication.
And but that, sometimes, just give me, you know, give me my space for just a minute, you know?
Oh, that's so true. I'm going to tell a story, is that right? You want to help?
He's like, I don't know which one.
Yes, he does. So there was this man and wife, it wasn't us. But they were really fighting. And they had been fighting for a long, long time. And what's one of the things that most couples do as they're fighting? What's the thing that happens very regularly?
Stonewalling.
We get very Christ-like about it. I'm not going to say anything because...
Yeah, right? Because it's better.
Yeah. So
don't
they...
Have anything nice to say. Don't say anything at all.
Yep, that's what we were taught. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so this couple, it was a Sunday, she was going to church, she couldn't get her zipper up, so she went. Are you gonna do it? Ooh. So, the next day, she thought, I'm going to get him back some way. And she had gone somewhere, and she came home, and here was her husband laying under the car, fixing it, with his legs hanging out. And she thought, oh, the perfect time. She reached down, and she got his zipper, and she went, zip, 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 zip. And she walked in, and there was her husband. And she said, honey, who's out fixing the car? It's the bishop. Needless to say, they began talking after that. No, I just want you to know that it's so easy. I mean, we do it too. Let me tell you. We have done more of, like, for example, this, you know, the four horsemen thing that he was talking about that some of you may have heard. He was going to do a copy for all of you today. You want to tell him about it? Go ahead.
So yes, yesterday I thought I should go to my office and get this all copied so I can give everybody a copy of the Four Horsemen. And I thought, no, we'll just use our copy at home and we'll run out of ink and I can just go get some new ink and sometime, but because I didn't want to use our home copy. Anyway, went to copy it all for you this morning, of course, and it wouldn't work. Our home copy. I didn't have time to go to my office and get the copies made, so I was so frustrated about that.
You know, that's what happens when you procrastinate.
That's what you think I procrastinated. You always have to have everything planned and in order. All
but
perfect.
Guess what? I usually always have everything that I need.
Well, yeah, you're perfect.
Oh, yeah, right. Call me perfect.
And again, that'll start right back into defense, blaming. And any time we get into that. Now, someone said, you know, when I can understand what... I may never understand. In fact, I promise you, I'm not going to understand how she processes. I don't think she's going to understand how I process. I promise you, we've been married 47 years. I love animals. I think every person should have animals. I want to take her to therapy so she can learn how to love animals. She likes them. I just don't get to touch her. No. Yeah. But my point is this. It doesn't matter if I don't understand that. She loves piano. She has music everywhere in her house. It doesn't matter if I understand that. We validate. We want to validate the differences. So I had llamas and pygmy goats and emus and out in my yard, donkeys and
pigs and chickens.
Not in the house. And that's our compromise. Yeah. So that's all the compromise we're making.
Go ahead. Let's see. Where were we?
We're talking about pathetic and empathetic listening.
Oh, sometimes we think we listen. but we really don't. And so we're gonna practice doing that. Can you? I'm gonna show you a. Well, okay. There's an empathetic way of listening, and there's a pathetic
way. We just showed you the pathetic.
Okay, yeah. That's probably good. The empathetic way. I have to come back here.
Oh. So you're feeling bad that you didn't get a copy of those Four Horsemen for everybody this morning? Yeah, I really kind of am. Oh, yeah, that is too bad. That was important to you. Oh, so we could pass that back and forth. I can see that was really important to you. I'm sorry that didn't work out for you. You know, I don't know if anybody will even read it anyway. Well, they'll probably just throw them away. Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll keep it, but you know what? We'll just do the best we can. We won't have a copy. And we'll encourage them to go look it up. The Four Horsemen by John Gottman. But that's an empathetic kind of way of passing it back and forth, but we don't have to defend and make each other wrong. So you're on this path. Do you have something else you want to say on this? You're on this path of communication. You won't always succeed. The thing I love about home educators that I've read and watched and learned so much about is they're not afraid to fail. And you teach your children, you're not afraid to fail. The class that's going on next to us is about fragility. You know, you don't want to teach them to be so fragile that they're going to break. It's okay to fail. And in your relationships, you're going to fail too. You're going to miscommunicate. Start over. Say, okay, we didn't do that so well. Start over. Yeah, but you're still not getting it. I may never get it. Let's start over. Let it go. Forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean you trust immediately. Yes.
I love in that example that she didn't try to solve your problem for you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. She didn't.
Like, she could have, like, come up with a solution for you, but she didn't.
And what would have happened if I would have done that?
Like, you probably would have come up with a good solution, like, oh, we can go to the copier on the way there or something, but it's taking it out of his hands. It's taking the responsibility away from him.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that, because what's the unspoken message if she does that?
You're incapable.
I'm incapable. Now think about your children again. The unspoken message we give to them so many times is you're incapable. Oh, that's so sad. Our kids are capable of so much more than we can even imagine.
Question?
Yes.
So sometimes, and no offense to women, but sometimes women just want to be heard. Yeah. But men are fixers. So sometimes I swear, I ask my wife, is this something you just want me to listen to, or is this something you want me to fix? Just because it's like...
It's a great thing to do.
And if you just... And I try to do that reframing. If she just wants me to listen, oh, so what you're saying is, oh, okay. And I get through it, and then it's like, okay, bye. Right? But, like, as men, like, I'm a true fixer. Like, most men are.
It's our design. Yeah. You walk around...
You're from Mars.
Duct tape and bailing.
I suppose.
We want to fix everything. That is our design. But and again, for the women in the room, be careful... Not to go, wow, his unspoken message, he's got to fix me. Because his intent, what's his pure intent?
To make it better.
His pure intent is to make things better.
To stop you hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. But his message may come out as, you're not okay and I got to fix you. Mm-hmm. So his intent is very pure. So practice pure intent, and that's what I was just going to get into. As you communicate, what's his pure intent? What's that male's pure intent? What's that female's pure intent? Her pure intent is she wanted to just have someone hear her. His pure intent is he wants to get it fixed and move on. His pure intent is he wants to get you feeling well so you can be physically intimate with him. I mean, that's his drive, you know. He shouldn't be put down for that drive. And you can come back and make him wrong or put him down because he's trying to fix all these things. So be very, very careful about your... And you go back to pure intent. What's his pure intent? What does she really want to say? What does he really want to say? And validate that those differences. Have you ever thought about that?
I think the only thing that we didn't really cover is knowing or being willing to be wrong. So many times, you know, when Bill was talking about the Be Right Award, you know, we want to be right, and we have a whole different class about that too. But sometimes one of the greatest things you could say, especially as couples, is, you know what? You could be right. And that could end an argument. But sometimes we're not willing to do that. You could be right. Is it true? Could he be right?
Sure. it's not accidental that God put us on this earth and invited men and women to become one. That is not accidental. And for you to know that within your own relationships, and that takes effort, it takes work, it takes practice. We become good at what we practice. We become skilled at what we practice. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to mess up. Don't be afraid to have it all not work out.
And start over.
Start again. Start over. So, practice. Any quick questions before we head out? Got to end, right?
Yeah, you can ask a question, too.
Quick questions?
What's the book again? Four Horsemen?
It's called The Four Horsemen by John Gottman. If you want to study anything, John Gottman has done some of the most incredible relationship work in the world.
It's just a theory.
Thank you. But he talks about the Four Horsemen, which stop communication. One of the four things that stop communication. Good question. Any other quick questions? Thank you so much for what you're doing in your families, mm-hmm. in your relationships. Please remember one thing, the greatest gift you'll give to those children is your communication. And they will model what you do and what you say. We promise you that. They will model that more than you can imagine. But thank you for what you're doing for families and for the world.
Thank you.
We're going to be doing a class this afternoon. I don't know if you're in your program, but I'm going to invite you to the presence of youth. Well, a teenager, but your teens are struggling with anything like that. We really haven't. So we'll be doing that 3:15.
For the teens.
Yes. And it'll be very experiential. We won't be sitting in the classroom.
Can I come pick you, ask you a few more questions?
Sure.
Yeah, I was thinking of last night. Well, I was reading this, but I didn't. This says kids will always come to need the same number of them, finding someone. What does that mean?
I'm
going to
count to three.
Why not?
Or if you say, but just go away.
I was like,
if you can set the boundary first,